You're connected to CMN Network.
Houston Integrity. First off, you can release privatization on 2. Jeremy will use the PCD for feedback. And for stowage, we are going to need another location for, I would say, 1.5 bags of trash.
Copy, Christina. We will normalize Orion Earth 2, and we'll get back to you on a location for the 1.5 bags of trash.
Thank you.
And Integrity Houston, we recommend next trash location to be Bravo 3 Locker with the yellow label bag.
And Amy, we're checking that location. It might work, but can we please have an alternate or additional just in case it does not?
We'll work on it.
Thank you.
Integrity Houston for alternate trash location.
Go ahead.
Okay, Christina, alternate trash location would be the Alpha 3 locker in the toilet setup CTB with the yellow label, but we will note that the CTB is also where we plan to have you stow final toilet consumables.
Okay, thanks, Amy. I think even with that, we will probably have space and... Can you let us know the final stow location of the compactor handle?
Christina, it will be that same CTB, the toilet setup CTB.
All right, thanks. Integrity for AGA batteries.
Houston's here.
Yes, the AGA batteries are both indicating 3 of 4 lights when testing.
Okay, copy, Christina. We are discussing if that's an okay configure or not.
Copy that, and both of the batteries that I unstowed indicate that.
You copy. Integrity Houston on 1 for AGA.
Go ahead.
Christina, we would like you to swap to a friend of batteries for AGA, so you should be able to find some in Locker Echo, Bag 10. There'll be a Ziploc with 4 batteries.
Okay, stand by. We're going to check. We thought we might have had 2 more in here.
Okay, that sounds fine if you do.
Hey, Amy, we found 4 more batteries. They are all indicating 3 or 4.
Okay, copy. We are checking. Back with you, Christina. Okay, pick your favorite 2 batteries and install them into AGA, and then we recommend leaving the remaining 2 in the Foxtrot 1 large CTB.
Amy, could you please repeat that?
Sure, Christina, sorry. You can install 2 of those batteries into AGA, and then we recommend leaving 2 batteries in Foxtrot 1 large, and any other remaining batteries can go back into Echo 10.
Fantastic. We'll do it. Houston Integrity for AGA reading.
We're ready.
6.9, oxygen 21.5, 76.0 degrees, 14.7 psi, and had a bit message that is no longer showing. I think it was the same name that someone read up the other day, bit 116 perhaps, and I think bit 2 was 0.
All right, copy, Christina. I'm glad you brought that bit message. We wanted to follow up with you. If you see a bit during startup, that's expected, but it should clear after 5 minutes. So it sounds like for this latest AGA activation, the bit is clear. That's good news.
That is great. Thank you for that insight that we probably were taught. Sounds good.
I need a reminder myself. Also, your email sync is complete. You are go to Axis. And you had passed to the previous team that you would like a reminder on stowing the card reader. You can stow that tonight or tomorrow.
Okay, thank you for the email and thank you for the reminder.
A pleasure.
Amy, one more stowage question when you're ready. Low priority.
We love stowage.
What is a good stowage location for the PCD power cable, the 15 volt?
Picking. And Christina, you can put that in the Foxtrot 1 large CTB. There should be room since the speakers were removed, but you also have the option to leave the PCD power cable out overnight.
We copy. Thank you. And Houston, notifying you that the HHP camera battery charging activity is complete.
We copy.
Amy, with that, we are showing our... So we're going to say goodnight, number one.
Happy. I've heard about this goodnight, number one. Hopefully we'll keep it as goodnight, number one, and we'll also say goodnight, moon.
W8CMN, repeater in Guilford.
Love it.
You're connected to CMN Network. Currently connected to CMN Network.
Integrity Houston for PCD 3 offline. Hey there, we saw PCG3 drop offline. We suspect you may have made it hardline. If yes, could you run the wired script? We want to make sure that it's available for us to uplink tomorrow's plan.
Working on that now.
Thanks much. Houston's here.
Hey, Amy, the 2D5s, do we store those with batteries or without? And if we store them without batteries, let us know where to put the batteries.
You store the D5s with the batteries but without cards. Okay, Houston copies, and we'll wish you good night, number two. Good night, Earth.
Excellent. Good night, number two.
Connected to CMN Network.
to the Tegrity on 01 for AB real quick.
We're here.
W-A-
this is probably a wee bit of micromanagement, but could you please tell Frank Rubio to send a note to the families that if they email us one more time tonight, we will get it in the morning, but that we will not be able to respond after tonight. I just want them to have that expectation.
We will take care of that.
Okay, awesome. Thank you.
Sure, Reed. And just wanted to check because we are not seeing PCD 3 online. Are you seeing anything from your end, any issues?
Do you need it wired? We ran the Wi-Fi config.
Yeah, Reed, we want it wired. And my understanding is that you have a separate script to run to get it on a wired configuration.
We're on it. Okay, we're putting it in wired.
Okay, excellent. And we're going to go forward link LOS to you in about 10 minutes, so we'll call back if we don't see it, but we do see it. That was quick. Nice work.
Go Canada. That man knows his PCD.
Go Canada. And with that, we'll wish you good night, number three. Good night, Stars.
All right, folks, we will likely be asleep when you get back AOS. Thanks for an outstanding day in space, and we look forward to tomorrow.
Thanks, Reed. We are as well.
W8CMN, repeater in Guilford. You're connected to CMN Network. W8CMN, repeater in Guilford. Connected to CMN Network. W8CMN, repeater in Guilford. You're connected to CMN Network. Currently connected to CMN Network. W8CMN, repeater in Guilford.
CRVN. KB8RVN, KB8RVP. K8RVN, KB8RVP.
Connected to CMN Network. Thank you.
keep the secrets unknown to me. I want to see you. I want to see you. Don't try to find the answer. There ain't no question here. Whether let your heart be wounded, if you know mercy to your ear.
Victor, Christina, and Jeremy, Zach and Zach Brown Band here, checking in from the USA. We hope that piece of our song, Free, helps start your day with the right kind of lift. We just want to say how proud we are of you. It takes courage, grit, and freedom to chase the unknown. It's the purest kind of American spirit. Millions back home are looking up and feeling more inspired because of you. Keep flying strong. Keep flying safe. We can't wait to welcome you home. Come see us on the road.
You're connected to CMN Network.
What a great way to start the day, Houston. Courage and grit, that'll stick with me, and it should stick with all of you all day long.
We got it loud and clear, Integrity. Can't wait to see you run to the water. See you soon. Good morning.
Connected to CMN Network. WHCMN, repeater in Guilford.
Integrity Houston, good morning. Comm check, post ACU swaps.
Good morning, Houston. We got you loud and clear.
Hey, good morning, Jim. We want to let you know that OE2 is privatized, ready to start the conference early or on time at your preference. And afterwards, we've got a couple of cabin entry config items to sync with you. Give us a call.
Okay, Jackie. How about we take those cabin config items right away, and then we'll do the TMC.
We can do that. So looking at the cabin entry config procedure, step 5 for the AGAs is no perform. Based on your battery activities last night, AGA is in good shape through splashdown. And in step 10, we would like you to get going early on step 10. In particular, for the post-landing LIO, we'd like you to perform the battery check. That is in step 1 of your post-landing LIO mounting and routing procedure.
Okay, we can get started on the LIO.
All right, that was all we had for you for cabin entry config for now.
Houston, speaking of cabin config, one thing for you, the contingency urine CWC, that is, we had a plan so that we could actually complete that stowage as a get ahead last night, and that's been done. We did not use a hefty bag, but it is empty, and it is sealed in two Ziplocs inside the JSB. We feel that it's unaccessible now, and we'd like to keep it in that config.
All right, Christina, thanks for the status. We will confirm that is a good config.
Thank you, ma'am.
Okay, Jackie, we'll head over to Private 2 for the PMC.
Copy.
N8KNS. N8KNS, this is NAWRO Richmond. Don, you listening? Nothing heard, NAWRO, clear.
Houston Integrity, you can normalize too.
In what? Integrity Houston, some pre-burn SA for you. The plus X flange heaters are on and prop avionics are configured.
Okay, we copy, Jackie. Houston Integrity, both LIO, or all four LIO battery units are fully charged.
Houston copies. Good news. Thanks.
You're connected to CMN Network.
And Houston Integrity, we're ready to secure the cobalt brick and the WAP, but just want to check with you that you don't need the network on board. Before we do that, check with you that you don't.
Integrity, for Jeremy, we copied your question. We were in a data rate handover, but we can confirm no further ground use for the WAP or cobalt brick, so go to tear those down. Follow up for Christina, the empty CWC stowage config that you called earlier is a good config for entry, so no need to go find that. And finally, we can support a camera downlink if and when you are willing.
Okay, we copied all those, Jackie. And which cameras were you planning on coming on board with?
Yeah, good question. We just wanted to use Cab 3.
We're good with that.
All right, we will join you.
Houston Integrity for CBA pressure.
Go ahead.
CBA pressure is 2,500 PSI.
Send copies, 2,500. Integrity Houston, 2 minutes to Starfield maneuvers.
We copy that, Jackie. Houston Integrity, we are standing by for the burn conference whenever you are ready.
We are ready. Your final burn plan is on board, and we've got several deltas to the pad. The deltas are two R2 version 2, uplink at day 100, 1220. First delta is TIG slip, is 10 minutes. Secondary pointing, Omicron, is 2525.0. For your guidance solution, delta V tote, 4.17. For your attitude in delta V, this remains frame inertial. Attitude, yaw pitch roll, is 4.6, 4.3, 2.37. Delta V, X, 2.1, Y, 2.2, V, negative 2.9. How copy?
Okay, Jackie, we caught the end material. Can you give us the trim number that you started with and Omicron, I believe, were the two? Or maybe TIG slip and Omicron.
TIG slip is 10 minutes. Omicron is 25.0.
Okay, Jackie, we copied all the deltas, but we are not confident we started with the right file. Can you confirm the date, the UTC of ground generation?
Yep, that is day 100, hour 12, minute 20, 20.
So, Jackie, that ground generation daytime is what we had as version 1, and you said version 2, so that's what's throwing us off. We were looking for a version 2, but we saved version 1 as version 2 to get ready for these deltas. Did you uplink a new burn pad, or were you just instructing us to save it as version 2?
Yeah, sorry about that. These deltas we're reading you are called version 2. And the UTC we are expecting you to be referencing is the one I read off.
Okay, copy. We wrote those deltas on the Excel file that was labeled version 1, and we have saved it as version 2.
That's perfect. Couple of final notes for you. Under burn execution steps, step 8, OpNav pass, we are performing OpNav pass, and that did kick off automatically. And then in burn notes, just want to clarify for the PCL message today, that is message 3.10.02.
Okay, we copy step 8 auto and 3.10.02, which we all read. Thank you. Any other deltas to the steps, burn execution steps?
No deltas. One final note, the cell in the burn notes that talks about if BFS engages does have about 2 rows worth of text. So you may need to expand it to see all of it.
Jackie, that is a great call. Thank you for that information.
And that is everything we had for the burn conference.
Okay, we copy. Thank you very much. Houston Integrity, are we go for secondary with this water lined up?
Currently connected to CMN network.
Integrity, you are go for secondary line dumps.
Copy, thank you.
Integrity Houston for the burn. SM prop helium ISIL valves are configured.
Okay, we see closed, open, 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 and that's what we were expecting. Thanks for the confirmation.
Integrity Houston, good final targeting, and we are go for the burn, pending saw positioning.
Copy. Houston, go for the burn. Thank you.
Integrity, tank pressures are good for the burn.
Copy that, Jackie. Thank you.
Integrity, Houston, solar arrays are in position for the burn.
W8CMN, repeater in Guilford.
Integrity, just under 2 minutes to the maneuver.
Copy that. All is calm on board, Jackie. Thank you.
Integrity, Orion is in burn attitude.
Connected to CMM Network.
Unbelievably spectacular view. Thanks, Jackie.
Integrity Houston in 22.3 critical cue card. We're looking for the BFS burn ATP to no go. To go, excuse me. You go.
Good catch, Jackie. We are BFS burn ATP go, and we do not need to command the no-go on this because we're SM plus X.
Good words. Sorry about the confusion, and we see a good config.
Comment, Kilo, X-Way, Zulu, Oscar, Bravo. I just had a technician ask me a question. He's studying for his license, and he's asked me, is that broadcasting? Is that a legal thing that a technician can do on this frequency, broadcasting? He's studying his technician's license, and I looked at him like, well, what does the test tell you? You know, what does the information tell you? He said, no, we don't supposed to broadcast if you have your technician's license. But I was just wondering, just thought I had tossed that 2 cents in there because he asked me this question. About that, he's studying to get his license. Kilo Echo 8, Zulu Oscar Bravo, clear.
Kilo Echo 8, Alpha Oscar Bravo, this is November 8, Hotel India Sierra.
This is Kilo Echo 8, Zulu Oscar Bravo, out of Owasso, Michigan.
Sorry about that. This is Pete, N8HIS. I just wanted to let you know this is CMN.net. And if you check that out on the internet, you'll find out that they have the right to program.
Roger that. Well, that's what the kid wanted to hear. I appreciate you answering that. That answered his question. Thank you very much. That answered the kid's question at study. Thank you.
Yeah, this is legal. In fact, the only time music is allowed is when it was from a NASA government broadcast. So the wake-up sound, that's legal to go across. It's the only time. W8CMN.
Hello, Echo 8, I appreciate the conversation and letting me know the situation at that, and now that made that young man a lot more comfortable. Thank you, guys.
RTC 3 burn, and we are assessing details.
the same on board, and we just wanted to give a huge shout out to that Ethan Airbus team, to our friends in the Netherlands and Germany and at the Glenn Research Center. This vehicle powered us and it propelled us from the Earth to the Moon and back with extreme precision, and we are excited to be a part of your team.
Houston and centers around the world, copy. Thank you.
And Jackie, we are ready to reconfigure our F7 SIP switches for entry, if you could give us a go.
Do I go for F7 switches?
Copy to go.
And you are now maneuvering back to biased tail to sun attitude.
We see it.
We're going to need a copy of that photo when you guys get back. Copy them. Integrity, Fido confirmed that that was a great RTC3.
Outstanding. Thanks, Fido. And a second thanks to the team. That's awesome.
Integrity, prop post-burn reconfig is complete. And if you were hanging out in step 23.4, you can skip it. We are in a good config.
And Jackie, we were talking about seats. Can you, I'm in instruction 337, 392, and then can you repeat that call?
The prop post-burn reconfig is complete, and there is no need for the remainder of 23.4. You can consider that closed out.
Remainder of 23.4, closed out, copy. And Jackie, just confirm, I know you said the rest of 23.4, I'm not looking at this in steps. Just instructions, confirm that's the BFS configured for the burn, subsequent steps as well.
Confirm, all the way through instruction 347 can be skipped.
Okay, I see that takes us to step 24. I did not do any of the remaining steps in step 23, and that is over to you, MCC. We're moving back to cabin config.
Same copies and concur. And Victor and the rest of the Integrity crew, the only BPC-related topic we had for you this morning was to sync up on cabin config and get a status of where you are in the procedure.
Hey, Jackie. We're with you on that. We are complete through step 7. Actually, step 8 now is complete as well. And step 15 is complete. And we'll update you on the rest as we go along.
We copy all.
You're connected to CMN Network.
Integrity Houston, for the TLT unconverged caution, we were running orb guide post-burn to look at post-burn targeting, and that particular sequence did not include running TLT. That is what triggered the caution. We have no concerns.
Okay, outstanding. Thank you.
KF8GTA, listening.
Houston Integrity, could you go off board on the cameras for a couple, please?
In what? Integrity, tab 3 is not streaming.
Thank you, Jackie.
Kilo, Foxtrot, 8, Golf, Golf, Alpha, listening.
Houston Integrity, F9 is complete, the seats are configured.
Houston, copy seats.
Connected to CMN Network.
Houston Integrity, Jackie, steps 10 and 11 are complete.
W8CMN, repeater.
Houston copies steps 10 and 11. You guys are on track, looking great.
Houston Integrity for toilet configure for return.
Go ahead.
We have an empty canister. Can you confirm that I don't need to do steps 1.2 to 1.4?
Checking.
W8CMN, repeater in Guilford.
Christina, we concur. You do not need to perform the steps you listed.
Thanks, Jackie.
Kilo, Foxtrot, 8, Golf, Golf, Alpha, monitoring. Kilo, Foxtrot, 8, Golf, Golf, Alpha, listening. Kilo, Foxtrot, 8, Golf, Golf, Alpha, listening.
You're connected to CMN Network.
Kilo, Foxtrot, 8, Golf, Golf, Alpha, radio check.
I heard Golf, Golf, Alpha. This is Kilo, Echo 8, Zulu, Oscar, Sierra, over.
This is Kilo, Foxtrot, 8, Golf, Golf, Alpha. Just set up a new radio and doing a radio check.
Very good. Kilo Foxtrot 8, Golf Golf Alpha. Kilo Echo 8, Zulu Oscar Sierra, KD8 VLS. You sound very good today coming into the repeater. Very clear. A little low on your first tee up. I don't know if the mic gain could be turned up a little bit, but otherwise you sound clear as a bell. Over.
Good to know. I just got ICOM 5100 set up and going through all programming on it right now.
Ah, wonderful. Enjoy. Well, have a great rest of your day. This is Kilo Echo 8 Zulu Oscar Sierra standing by.
Houston
You too, sir. Kilo Foxtrot 8, Golf Golf Alpha, clear.
K8LAX.
K8WRO, good afternoon, Dean.
Hi, good afternoon. How are you, Jim? Is stuff being broadcasted on here? I haven't been using it because of that. Or does it switch on and off?
Yeah, I'm looking at the dashboard. The link is still there, so it could jump in at any time. I haven't heard it recently, but hey, so is today the last day of the landing? Tonight, is that it?
To be honest with you, I would have to ask the XYL. I have no idea. I haven't really been paying attention because I wake up and go to work, and if I do have an opportunity to listen to it, I can't. I can only have it on a whisper because I can't interfere with other traffic, obviously.
Yeah, I could see where they would frown on that. But, yeah, it was interesting. It's been interesting, I tell you. You have to kind of occasionally mention to people that, yeah, well, that's the only time it's allowed. That's the, but I quite enjoyed it. I think collectively we stayed connected and we liked it. So, but then conversely, now that the mission's over, it'll be nice to kind of get back to normal as well. It's both sides of the coin there, I suppose. You heading in for tonight or no?
That is correct. I am heading in, and I kind of quick keyed there a little bit. I'm heading in, and then this is my last weekend on a 3-weekend in a row, so I'm looking forward to the next weekend off. But I'm also going to propose to the boss about switching my shift to my opposite, which would give me every Thursday off, which might work out better.
N-A-W-R-O, yeah, I copy that for NETS and for training day. That would be, if it possible, that would work out better if it's available. Just a little bit of an update. I did actually switch over to 365, the actual 365, not the one resident here. So John helped me out with that. So now I've got the regular log, the nice live log. Oh, it looks like NASA might be transmitting. Let's see.
Checking. Copy that. QSY-FBI.
QSY-FBI, NAWRO, clear.
And Integrity Houston for entry checklist. We are ready for you to begin 18.0.1 entry checklist, steps 1 through 6.
Copy, work go, entry checklist 1 through 6. Thanks.
And step 3 for GPS can be skipped. GPS has been powered and it still looks good.
Copy, step 3 is a skip.
K8RVN, K8RVP.
Integrity Houston for entry checklist.
Currently connected to CMN network.
Go ahead, Jackie.
I read a couple of questions for you. We realized we didn't give you an explicit thumbs up to perform at 1.2 for the flight path angle hash mark update, so we wanted to confirm that you did, in fact, perform the set EI FPA limits procedure. And secondly, we want your opinion on the in-and-out CMIS caution. Is that something that will be distracting such that we should inhibit it?
We are going to go execute 1.2. We had skipped that, and we would prefer to inhibit the CMIS caution on board.
Okay, we copy, and just to close the loop on that, that will mean on flight.landing, you would not have a yellow or down arrow indication if that does stay below the threshold.
And that is totally fine.
Houston Integrity for toilet deactivation.
Integrity. Jackie had to step off for a second. Go ahead for toilet.
Sir, hey, Sam. Great to hear your voice. We are ready for MCC to deactivate the toilet.
Houston copies. Putting that in work.
Houston Integrity for burn telemetry on CM or raise burn. Two questions.
Go for CMA's questions.
Hey, Jackie, we see a delta V tote on our display of 9.9, which is fairly close to the 8.5 on the entry pad, but our TGO on the display is 44 seconds, and the entry pad estimated 19 seconds. Can y'all take a look at that for us?
Read, good catch. The explanation there is that delta V is about what we expect update-wise, but the TGO calculation is not understanding that you will not have the SM when you burn CM rays. So it's doing a different math calculation there.
I remember that class in November of 2023 in Building 5 on the third floor. Thank you very much.
Integrity, Houston, the toilet is unpowered.
Christina Rogers, thank you.
Integrity, Houston, for a post-RTC3 tracking update.
Go ahead, Houston.
Hey, the post-ITC3 tracking looks great. So good, in fact, that if we got to CM rays and did not yet have GPS acquisition, we would still be go for CM rays from that perspective. And so overall, I can confirm the post-RTC3 trajectory is within EI limits.
All right, Jackie, we love that. That says a lot about our FIDO folks and this vehicle.
Houston, we have a problem. Houston, we have a problem.
No. 5-2-2. Connected to CMN Network.
Houston Integrity, comm check from seat 1.
Seat 1, have you loud and clear coming down on both OE 1 and 2? Sound me on 1.
That's loud and clear on 1. Jackie, we're going to stay in this config on both 1 and 2, and Reed and Victor are in our seats. Slowly proceeding along.
Okay, we copy, and just to confirm, that means that you've got the bulk of your suits donned, is that correct?
just for Reed and Victor, A Farm. We're not gloved, not helmeted yet.
Copy on. Thanks.
Yeah.
Integrity EFS is configured for entry with outputs inhibited. A reminder, when you get to step 9.3, use your separate instance of 18.3.101 to save off the time.
100%. Thanks.
Houston Integrity Comcheck from C2.
Sir, have you loud and clear? I'm coming up on one. How me?
Jackie, I have you loud and clear on one.
You are loud and clear on two, Jackie.
W8CMN, repeater in Guilford.
Integrity, steps 12, 13, 14, and 15 are complete.
Jeremy Houston copies. Thank you.
Houston Integrity, seat 1 and 2, leak check complete. Also, we powered up the AGA, and it's giving us a CO2 alarm at 4.4.
You're connected to CMM Network.
We saw it as well, and copy CO2 at 4.4. We are discussing.
We also on the AGA have a bit A of 16. We've seen that in the past. Should go away.
Reed, is the AGA been stored for 5 minutes yet, or are we still in that wait period?
We are in the wait period. We expect that bit will go away.
We copy, and that bit can also indicate that we cannot trust the other values, so we'll check back with you after the 5 minutes on the CO2 levels.
Hey, firm.
Houston Integrity, we are complete through steps 18. Seats 3 and 4 are yet to suit up.
Jeremy, we copy completed 16 through 18 and confirm for us whether you needed any adjustments of CIAS in step 17.
Negative. All the settings are still in their launch config.
Copies. Integrity, Houston, we are ready for another CO2 reading on the AGA.
It is 5.1.
Houston, copies. And Reed, earlier I did misspeak. The CO2 reading specifically would not have been affected by that particular bit.
Okay, sounds good. We just know we're in an ARS suit, and that's very likely contributing to that.
I concur. Integrity Houston for CO2.
Go ahead, Jackie.
Reed, what we'd like to do is open the ARS ISO valve to mix the cabin and suit loop air for the time being, and we would just need a call from you all when Christina and Jeremy are getting in their seats and are a few minutes out from leak checks, and we'll get that back into a good config for you to start the next leak check.
Okay. Hey, Jackie, that's a reasonably good idea. Can we just hang on that for a little bit and see how we're doing?
Up to you. We will wait. Let us know if you'd like that cabin air mixing.
Is there a CO2 number where you guys would advise us that?
Reed, we would not want to go above 7.
Yeah, that's perfect. Let us monitor it for just a couple minutes here. Houston, cabin entry config is complete, and Christina and Jeremy are about to start suit on.
Excellent on cabin config, and copy suit down. Integrity, Houston, for enter checklist, your CMSM SEP ATP is set to go.
We see that on the PFD, Jackie. Houston, Christina's got an amazing view of home planet out the side hatch window, and it's lighting up the cabin, and it's just a great blue hue to it. It's beautiful.
That is amazing. When you kicked us out of the cabin, we turned on one of the SAW cameras and also had the Earth's reflection on one of the arrays. It was very cool.
Oh, man, that is amazing.
Connected to CMN Network.
Jackie, the cabin audio cable and boom mic are in F3 large stowed.
We copy. Integrity, Houston. Cabin temp cold soaking is initiated.
Copy that, Jackie. CO2 is 5.5, and we are still doing good on board. Christina and Jeremy are beginning suit on.
Houston, copy call. Integrity, Houston, for entry checklist.
Go ahead, Jackie.
Reed, with this time to EI, we expect that you're about to be stepping into steps 9 and 10 in the entry checklist. In step 10 for the SIP switch config, there are no deltas.
No deltas to step 10. Copy all.
Hilo Echo 8, your Echo Victor East Alas, antenna testing. Stand by for SWR. Oh yeah, pretty flat. There she has it. Canadian SCV antenna testing clear.
Houston, cabin switches configured for entry.
Houston, copy.
Hey, Jackie, you got time for one question?
Go ahead.
When I was looking at the BFFSM-SEP, it was the exact same time as our predicted SM-SEP. Can you just confirm we don't need that to be a touch later?
And Reed, matching is expected. That's when the sequence will begin for that whole SEP.
Outstanding. Thank you for the verification. Houston Integrity, you are welcome back on board.
Houston copies, we will take you up on that.
Houston, we are ready for entry pad deltas if you got them.
Reed, we are taking a quick scan of those deltas and we'll have them up to you in just a minute.
Copy that.
Integrity Houston with entry pad deltas.
Reed and Ike are ready. Go ahead.
All right. These are deltas compared to the version you copied onto your knee boards on flight day 8. For time guidance, delta V tote will be 9.1. Figo, 20 seconds. Body delta V in the Z direction, 9.1. Okay.
Copy all.
In the entry section, total duration, 1338, 1338. And splashdown time, 9 days, 013157.
You're connected to CMN Network.
For descent and landing section, your backup heading direction will be 095. And for the landing site, a couple of changes to weather. First of all, in pressure, inches mercury, 29.95. That's 14.71 psi. Sky conditions, clouds, few to scattered, 010. Surface winds, 275 at 6 knots. How copy?
Jackie, we don't remember if the number is 06 or 08 for you, but we copy all on the entry pad.
I copy all. And with that, it's a good entry pad, and we can continue in the procedure.
Integrity. You said integrity. We've already confirmed it per procedure. Instruction 115 of entry checklist, SN separation ATP is go.
Houston copies.
Christine and Jeremy are fully zipped and they're working on EBS and then seating up.
Copy. Thanks for the status. Integrity. Starfield maneuvers initiating in a minute and a half.
Integrity.
W8CMN, repeater in Guilford.
Houston Integrity, we are suit on completely.
Houston copies.
Houston Integrity for status.
Go ahead.
Seat 3 and 4 are connecting umbilicals. We're going to be stepping into leak check soon. 1 and 2 will be seated. 3 and 4 will be free float, and we'll configure EPROC accordingly.
Houston copies all.
Houston Integrity, all four seats are leak check complete.
Houston copy. Congratulations. And while you were busy, CFS outputs were enabled.
We saw them go enabled on board.
Currently connected to CMN network.
From the Earth heating around the spacecraft of some 4,000 to 5,000 degrees Fahrenheit. On Artemis 1, as I think most folks know by now, we flew a trajectory known as a skip entry, in which we performed an initial dip into the atmosphere to bleed off some energy. Then we skipped out of the atmosphere and dipped back into the atmosphere before splashing down in the Pacific. But after the mission was over with, we noticed unexpected liberation of some of the charring effects on the heat field known as AVCODE. Before the flight, we had an opportunity to sit down and talk with Entry Flight Director Rick Hensling to get a perspective on what this all means and how the mission was redesigned to try to protect Integrity's heat shield to a higher extent. Let's take a look at that interview.
Return. Slow down to a nice, graceful splashdown in the Pacific Ocean. The flight crew is going to experience between
passing over the southwest coast of Australia, altitude of some 7,600 nautical miles. That will begin the southwest and northeasterly transit across the Pacific Ocean. Let's talk a little bit more about some of the highlights and some of the numbers associated with the points of interest here. We are 27 and a half minutes away from crew module service module separation. That will be followed about 3.5 minutes later by the raise burn that we've discussed, a 19-second burn of Integrity's thrusters to fine-tune its angle of attack as it enters the Earth's atmosphere. Entry interface is scheduled 47 and a half minutes from now. That's the point at which we will reach the top of the Earth's atmosphere, traveling about 34,882 feet per second at an altitude of 400,000 feet. Just 24 seconds after entry interface, we will begin a blackout period of 6 minutes in duration at 6:53 and 54 seconds p.m. Central Time. Now, right about 10 seconds after the blackout period begins, we are expected to reach peak speed, which would be 24,661 miles an hour. That'll be about 103 miles an hour short of the velocity record set by the Apollo 10 astronauts, Tom Stafford, Gene Cernan, and John Young, when they returned from the moon on the Apollo 10 mission in 1969. That blackout period is expected to last 6 minutes in duration. At 6:54 and 52 seconds p.m. Central Time, we'll reach our peak heating period of about 4,000 to 5,000 degrees, while we're in a communications blackout from Integrity and its astronauts. That blackout should end at 6:59 and 55 seconds p.m. Central Time, at which point we expect to regain communications with the crew. Capcom Jackie Mahaffey here in the flight control room will be talking to the crew, calling them, and we'll await a response from the crew as they come out of that blackout period. And at that point, their altitude will be just 157,000 feet above the Earth, traveling at 13,000 feet per second with a range to splashdown of just 147 nautical miles. From that point on, the next key series of events will be the deployment of a series of parachutes that we discussed before. First, the forward bay cover chute deploy that will pull the forward bay cover away from the top of Integrity, followed by drogue chute deploy and then the main chute deploy that's expected at 7:04 and 44 seconds p.m. Central Time. That will begin the gentle descent of Integrity towards its splashdown at just a velocity of just 19 miles an hour, and that will begin the recovery operations that you just heard Megan Cruz discuss with her folks on the USS John Murtha. All of Integrity's systems in great shape. The crew is suited up. Leak checks complete as we stand by for the next major milestone, which will be the crew module service module separation just 24 and a half minutes from now. All of the activities from the start of entry interface to the point of splashdown will be quite rapid fire, just 13 and a half minutes from the point at which we begin descent into the Earth's atmosphere till splashdown. And just to show you, as Rick Shearing, the flight surgeon, alluded to in his interview with Megan Cruz, all of this happens to decelerate the vehicle from traveling around Mach 33 to just 19 miles an hour at splashdown. All of that happening in just 13 and a half minutes. But the vehicle and the parachutes are all designed to support all of that, so we'll be standing by to report all that to you in sequential fashion as these milestones are ticked off and as we hear from the crew during its entry back into the Earth's atmosphere and ultimately when they emerge from the blackout period, and at that point we'll be just minutes away from splashdown. So with all of those preparations ongoing, we can return here briefly for another report from the USS John P. Murtha and Megan Cruz. Megan? And we'll regain that communication with the USS John P. Murtha just momentarily. In the meantime, everything is on track aboard Integrity, the flight control team here in Houston, led by Entry Flight Director Rick Hensling. The voice you will hear talking to the crew is that of Jackie Mahaffey. She will be reporting everything to the crew and receiving their reports as they enter the Earth's atmosphere for their 13-and-a-half-minute plunge back into the atmosphere for splashdown off the coast of San Diego. Now we have the ship back with us and Megan Cruz aboard the USS John P. Murtha. Megan?
11 to land, right? Hey, Rob, yeah, the excitement is really building here on the ship. I'm watching right now one of the weather balloons being lofted up from the ship. Again, weather balloons very important for us to...
And there's one of the weather balloons being deployed from the USS John P. Murtha. So the Artemis 1 entry had the vehicle.
The update on GPS, we haven't tracked in yet.
Reed, we are watching. We are starting to get into the window where they may start acquiring, so should be within the next 10 minutes.
Okay, sounds good. We're holding at step 17 and getting ready for CMRCS Hotfire.
And that exchange indicating that we are expecting to acquire data from the GPS system on board. That'll be a navigational tool that will basically tell Integrity's computers that they're on track down the center line of the corridor for the entry interface that will lead them to their splashdown point. Once again, the Artemis 1 entry exposed the heat shield for about 20 minutes of peak heating. For Artemis 2, we're going to reach a down track distance of 1,701 nautical miles from the point of entry interface with just 14 minutes of duration, and it's basically a different angle of attack, a little bit steeper angle of attack that will protect the heat shield from excessive heat loads. So that is the difference between Artemis 1 and Artemis 2, all designed into this mission to gather data, protect the heat shield, since the Artemis 3 mission and beyond will have a different designed heat shield that will allow that skip entry type of profile to be resumed for all of the future missions coming back from the south pole of the moon when we initiate lunar landings. So we've handed over to the tracking and data relay satellite system. That's where we'll have communications for the rest of the flight. Just to give you some time hacks here, we're 13 and a half minutes away from crew module service module separation, and 17 minutes away from the raise burn, that 19-second firing of the thrusters that will basically be the final fine-tuning of the angle of attack for Integrity as it enters the Earth's atmosphere. And once again, a dueling box view of some of the assets that are involved in recovery operations today. The
Integrity, cabin configured, all crew suited and seated.
Houston, copy.
That confirmation from Reed Wiseman aboard Integrity. As you see, the assets are being deployed to the splashdown zone. At the time of splashdown, we expect the John P. Murtha to be about 5 miles away from Integrity, keeping a safe distance until we are sure that the vehicle is in the water and upright, and that it is in a good configuration system-wide for the recovery teams to begin to approach the vehicle to erect that inflatable raft.
2 minutes to CM RCS warm-up hot fire.
Ready.
That call from spacecraft communicator Jackie Mahaffey indicating that we're 2 minutes away from a quick burst of the reaction control system. Thrusters, that will be a hot fire test prior to the separation of the crew module from the service module. The European service module has performed flawlessly throughout this flight. Everything, all the burns that had been prescribed for that service module have been executed on time and without a problem. There is the European flight control room that has overseen the manufacturing, the design of the European service module. They deserve quite a bit of credit on this mission for not only propelling the Integrity and its astronauts toward the moon, but also conducting the fine-tuning of its trajectory to bring it to this point where we are dead spot-on down the middle of the corridor trajectory-wise to bring Integrity down for its splashdown in the Pacific just 44 minutes from now.
Connected to CMN Network.
What you're looking at is a computer-generated visualization based on real-time telemetry from Integrity, currently traveling about 16,000 miles an hour. Integrity traveling about 16,000 miles an hour.
For the prop caution, so taking a look.
Copy that.
Now just about 5,100 miles from Earth. Splashdown scheduled 43 minutes from now. We're just 9.5 minutes away from the crew module service module separation. We are confirming.
Integrity, we are assessing details, but so far looks like a good hot fire.
Let's go on board, Jackie. Thank you.
And Jackie Mahaffey took the words out of my mouth. I was just about to say that we had a good hot fire test of the thrusters in advance of the crew module service module separation that's coming up just 8.5 minutes from now. This will begin the period in which we will have rapid fire succession of critical activities on board that will lead to entry interface just 28 minutes from now, where the vehicle will enter the Earth's atmosphere at an altitude of 400,000 feet. The time of entry interface, 6:53 and 30 seconds p.m. Central Time. Integrity's astronauts were awakened at mid-morning to begin their entry preparations. And propulsion officer now reports a good hot fire test in preparation for the crew module service module separation. We're now inside 41 minutes until splashdown.
Integrity, Houston, we have confirmed a good CMRCS hot fire. And although we are not seeing GPS acquired yet, you can skip the troubleshooting step in 157 for now.
Integrity copies.
That GPS discussion indicating that we will be acquiring navigational data for Integrity through the global positioning system equipment on board. We just don't have it yet, but we will. All of Integrity's systems are in great shape to support its high-speed entry into the Earth's atmosphere. It once again will reach a peak speed of 24,661.21 miles an hour.
You're calling GPS. We at least have GPS-1 looking good on board.
We are confirming.
Guidance Navigation and Control Officer here in Mission Control confirming that we have good lock on GPS data. We are on a communications link now through the Tracking and Data Relay Satellite System. Following splashdown, we're going to lose that link and go to what's called a VLDR, a Very Low Data Rate Communications Link, so that we can talk to the crew inside Integrity as they are on the water.
Integrity, confirm we do see good GPS.
We do too, especially GPS 1 is accepting in nav channels 1 and 3.
That GPS data is basically telling Integrity's onboard computers its position relative to the Earth, its trajectory, and its orientation according to flight dynamics, and the guidance navigation and control officer is spot on. We have now armed the pyros for the crew module service module separation coming up less than 5 minutes from now. Once again, just 10 seconds after entry interface, we will see Integrity reaching its peak speed of 24,661.21 miles per hour. That will be just seconds before we begin a six-minute blackout period.
Integrity, Houston, your vehicle is in a good config for CMSM set and go for CM raise.
Houston, we see the same on board and copy go for CM raise.
That CM raise referred to as the slight firing of 19 seconds by Integrity's thrusters with a change in velocity of 9.9 feet per second, a slight nudge of the aft end of the vehicle so that it's tilted a bit upward, providing the final angle of attack as the vehicle enters the Earth's atmosphere. This being the mitigating factor that will reduce heat loads on the heat shield as we reach a point downrange from the start of entry interface, some 1,701 nautical miles to the splashdown site. Integrity systems in excellent shape. We are currently 3,300 nautical miles left in this mission. Splashdown scheduled 36 minutes, 39 seconds from now.
Integrity Houston, for the two enabled prop cautions, what happened is while the thrusters were firing, multiple pressure sensors on each of the strings diverged a bit from each other. Those limits look to be set pretty tight. We think it could happen again when the thrusters fire in the future, so we are going to suppress those messages.
We concur with suppress, not inhibit. Thank you.
That exchange between Jackie Mahaffey, our CAPCOM for tonight, and Reed Wiseman aboard Integrity, indicating basically to ignore sensor data. All of Integrity systems are in good shape. Now, coming up on about 90 seconds till the crew module, service module separation, all quiet here in Mission Control as we enter the most critical phase of the completion of this flight, all of the preparatory activities leading up to the vehicle entering the Earth's atmosphere just 21 minutes from now. Coming up on 1 minute. Mark, 1 minute till crew module, service module separation. And we have confirmation of crew module, service module separation. A great view, albeit momentarily.
Houston, good step on board.
Houston copies and concurs.
The European service module now separated from Integrity, a job well done.
Integrity, no action for the four CDH cautions. Those are SM related, not applicable.
Integrity.
So with Integrity now flying free on its own for the remaining 32 minutes of this mission, next up, the raise burn, a 19-second firing of Integrity thrusters.
GPS 2.
Integrity copies, GPS 2.
Coming up on 2 minute mark until the raise burn. Again, this is the final tweaking of the orientation of Integrity to put it in the right angle, if you will, the angle of attack that it will fly in during its entrance into the Earth's atmosphere. Entry interface now just 18 minutes, 25 seconds away. This is a visualization, but driven by real-time telemetry. This is the maneuvering of Integrity to the raise burn orientation. Just 2,800 miles from Earth.
Houston, we got a great view of the European service module out the window with the sun hitting the side and the solar rays and the NASA worm right there. It's a beautiful looking machine.
Roger.
And we have completed the maneuver to the raise burn orientation. 1 minute away from the raise burn. And the crew module raise burn is underway, 19-second firing of the thrusters, and we have a completion of the burn.
Integrity, good. CM raise burn, your flight path angle is within limits.
Integrity copies. Looks good on board, Jackie.
So the final maneuver is now complete. Our trajectory for a splashdown in the Pacific 29 minutes from now is set and will not be amended further. And we have the right angle of attack to mitigate any excessive heat loads on the vehicle during entry interface.
Integrity, Houston, a heads up about comm coverage. When you perform the 180 roll, for the first minute or so in that attitude, we expect about a minute LOS.
We copy.
So for those who are watching, the series of events coming up, we will enter the first traces of Earth's atmosphere 14 minutes, 45 seconds from now. 6:53 and 30 seconds is what is pegged for entry interface at an altitude of 400,000 feet, traveling at approximately 34,800 feet per second, range to touchdown or splashdown, 1,701 nautical miles. 24 seconds after entry interface, we will enter a six-minute blackout period in which we will lose communications with the crew. This is expected due to the buildup of plasma around the vehicle. That's an ionization effect due to the collision, if you will, of the velocity of the spacecraft with the friction of the Earth's atmosphere. That six-minute blackout is expected to begin at 6:53 and 54 seconds p.m. Central Time. During that period of time, we will reach our peak speed of 24,661 miles per hour. It comes just short. Based on unofficial data from the flight dynamics officer right now, will come just short of the velocity record set by Apollo 10 of 24,791 miles per hour in 1969. We expect peak heating on the vehicle at 6:54 and 52 seconds p.m. Central Time, a minute and 22 seconds into entry interface. At that point, we will be just 204,000 feet above the Earth, traveling at 33,000 feet per second. Blackout period is expected to last 6 minutes. We expect that blackout period to end at 6:59 and 55 seconds p.m. Central Time. From the end of the blackout period until splashdown, it is just 7 minutes, at which point we'll start deploying the series of parachutes to slow integrity down to an ultimate splashdown velocity of just 19 miles an hour.
We see the same waiting for the 180 rolls.
The parachute deployment sequence, once again, will come in several segments, but in rapid fire succession.
And we have a great view of the moon out window two. Looks a little smaller than yesterday.
Guess we'll have to go back.
Reed Wiseman and Jackie Mahaffey exchanging discussion on a view of the moon that Integrity's astronauts are seeing in the final minutes of this mission. That will be completed with splashdown just 25 minutes from now. Three forward bay cover parachutes will be used to pull the forward bay cover off the top of the vehicle, and two drogue parachutes will be deployed to slow and stabilize the crew module during its descent, followed by three pilot parachutes that will lift and deploy the main parachutes from the forward bay. The final sequence will have three main parachutes deployed. These will be 116 feet in diameter, each main parachute approximately 265 feet long when reefed. The parachutes will ultimately slow integrity down from its peak speed of almost 33 times the speed of sound to a gentle 19 miles an hour at splashdown. The vehicle is now currently in a roll to the proper attitude for entry interface. Our trajectory is right on according to flight dynamics. Integrity is on a trajectory from southwest and northeast across the Pacific Ocean, ascending at a rate of 15,000 feet per second. Range to touchdown 4,300 nautical miles, all the systems in excellent shape.
Integrity, Orion in the EI roll 180 attitude.
Let's get on board, Jackie.
This view out of one of Integrity's windows. We had a call for three good barrows, those barometric pressure sensors that feed altitude and rate of descent information to Integrity's computers that will trigger the parachute deployment sequence. We are less than 9 minutes away from entry interface, 22 minutes from splashdown. You can see the reflection of one of the crew members in the window. Out in the Pacific, the weather conditions remain go. Just a few clouds, some scattered clouds, winds at 10 knots, wave heights just about 4 feet. Gentle day in the Pacific for the homecoming of Integrity's astronauts.
Integrity back in EI attitude.
We see the same on board, Jackie. Houston, purge is complete. Crew and vehicle are configured for entry.
Houston copies.
And we're in step 37, transferring mass speed to BFS. And Houston, in instruction 509, we are not below 0.2.
We
Integrity, no action required.
Integrity.
Now 6 minutes away from entry interface, we will hit the first traces of Earth's atmosphere at an altitude of 400,000 feet, traveling about 34,882 feet per second. Range to splash down at that point will be 1,701 nautical miles.
You're connected to CMN Network.
Once again, just a reminder, some 24 seconds after entry interface, we do expect to lose communications with the vehicle and the crew during a 6 minute blackout period when a plasma shield will build up around the spacecraft due to the ionization, due to heating effects. And Flight Dynamics has just confirmed we will have a blackout period of exactly 6 minutes in duration. Once again, that's due to the fact that a plasma buildup on the vehicle will prevent communications and data, so we will not be able to talk to the crew members at that time, nor will we receive data here in the flight control room.
Houston, everything is looking good on board. Just confirm no pre-EI downloads.
Houston concurs.
At blackout period to begin at 6:53 and 54 seconds p.m. Central Time, again, will last about 6 minutes in duration. We're 4 minutes away from entry interface. This view from Integrity as it crosses from southwest to northeast across the Pacific Ocean, 3 minutes from entry interface. 16.5 minutes till splashdown. The USS John P. Murtha and the recovery team is on station and in position, as are the airborne imagery assets that we hope to receive imagery from. The Artemis enters the Earth's atmosphere and through parachute deployment. All of Integrity's systems are in great shape. The crew is ready to complete its mission just 15.5 minutes from now. All of the activities today have gone off in perfect fashion. No issues with the vehicle, no issues with the crew. And the weather at the splashdown site is go. Coming up on 1 minute until entry interface. Mark, 1 minute until entry interface. 1 minute, 20 seconds until the expected start of our 6 minute blackout.
Integrity, 1 minute to a 6 minute blackout.
Integrity.
Ten seconds till entry interface. And we have crossed the threshold, now entering the Earth's atmosphere. We're at 400,000 feet, traveling 34,800 feet per second. Time to splash down, 13 minutes, 10 seconds. And as predicted, we've entered our communications blackout. This will be a 6 minute blackout period. No voice, no data from the crew. We're 30 seconds away from the anticipated point of peak heating on the vehicle. The temperatures will rise to about 4,000 to 5,000 degrees Fahrenheit. This is the true test of our trajectory. And from the G5 aircraft in the vicinity of the splashdown zone, this view of Integrity. So that pinpoint of light shows the vehicle as it enters the period of peak heating in the Earth's atmosphere, the first tug of gravity being felt by Integrity's astronauts since their launch back on April 1st.
W8CMN, repeater in Guilford.
4.5 minutes until the end of the blackout period. Time to splash down, 11 minutes, 33 seconds. The landing and support officer reports that the P3 has acquisition on integrity. 3.5 minutes left in this blackout period. This is a visualization of the plasma buildup around the spacecraft and the repelling of that heat on Integrity's heat shield. Flight Dynamics reports that airborne assets in the vicinity of the splashdown zone do have a visual on Integrity. Still 2 minutes and 40 seconds left in our blackout period. Time to splashdown, 9 minutes, 35 seconds. Multiple airborne assets as part of the recovery team all have visuals on Integrity. And the WB-57 flying in the splashdown zone also has a visual. And the Navy helos also have visuals. Still in the blackout period. Still do not have communications from the crew. Standing by for communications from the crew. We should be out of the blackout period less than a minute from now. We are now processing data from Integrity. Landing and support officer reports the small boats are en route to the splashdown target zone. Passing through 150,000 feet, our trajectory is perfect. We're getting intermittent views of Integrity. Still waiting to establish voice communication.
Integrity, Houston, comm check, post blackout.
Houston, Integrity, we have you loud and clear.
Your trajectory is nominal, and your recovery teams have visual.
Guys, looks good.
No action for the enabled internal camera controller fail.
Cheers from the viewing room here in Mission Control as voice communication reestablished with Commander Reed Wiseman. For America and a waiting world, Integrity is 5.5 minutes away from coming home. Passing 100,000 feet now. Range to splash down 19 nautical miles.
Integrity, impact to the camera controller fail is no tab one views of the chute.
Integrity.
We're processing good data through the GPS system. Good view of Integrity. Time to splash down 4.5 minutes. And a view of Integrity from the WB-57. We're at 50,000 feet. The pyros are armed for forward bay cover jettison. And there go the first series of parachutes. And we're on drogues.
And Houston, we're visual two drogues out the window.
Two good drogue chutes. Next up.
We copy. We see them.
Next up, the deployment of pilot parachutes that will pull the main chutes out. Time to splash down 3 minutes and 10 seconds. Perfect descent rate according to flight dynamics.
Good rate on two drogues.
We keep the same on board.
Passing through 10,000 feet, still on drogues. Main chute deploy. We're at 5,000 feet. Search and recovery beacon has been activated on Integrity. And we have three good main chutes. Good three main chutes, good reefing, good descent rate.
And we see three good-looking parachutes. Integrity, cabin pressure indicates no need for hydrazine checks.
Integrity copies.
This is a perfect descent for Integrity. Its crew sounding hale and hearty on board. Time to splash down 1 minute 15 seconds. Integrity about to complete a journey spanning 694,481 miles from its launch from the Kennedy Space Center back on April 1st and a trip around the moon. Passing through 1,000 feet.
Integrity, splashdown, sending post-landing command now.
Splashdown confirmed.
Happy splashdown, waiting on VLDR.
Splashdown confirmed at 7.07 p.m. Central Time, 5.07 p.m. Pacific Time. From the pages of Jules Verne to a modern-day mission to the moon, a new chapter of the exploration of our celestial neighbor is complete. Integrity's astronauts, back on Earth. And the landing and support officer reports the vehicle is stable one. We still will be deploying the crew module uprighting system to maintain that orientation. A perfect bullseye splashdown for Integrity and its four astronauts. The unofficial splashdown time, 7.07 and 47 seconds p.m. Central Time. We'll get that refined for you. I would put the end of the mission at a mission elapsed time of 9 days, 1 hour, 31 minutes, 35 seconds. And we're configuring for a very low data rate. Once again, splashdown occurring in the Pacific, southwest of San Diego. It's 7.07 and 47 seconds p.m.
Integrity Houston, comm check on VLDR.
Houston, we have you loud and clear on VLDR. How are us?
We have you the same. We'll meet you over in post-landing.
Perfect right. Communications established.
A journey. We are stable one, four green crew members.
Houston copies all.
Reed Wiseman reporting four green crew members. That is not their complexion. That is the fact that they're in great condition. That's what that means. So stable one, upright. The crew module uprighting system is being deployed. The five airbags being inflated through helium to maintain the upright configuration for the vehicle. This was a textbook entry and a textbook touchdown for Integrity. Reed Wiseman, Victor Glover, Christina Cook, and Jeremy Hansen back on Earth after a journey around the moon. We continue to monitor the functioning of the CMUS system. The airbags are being inflated to maintain a stable one or upright configuration. There's a good view from one of the naval helicopters hovering overhead. Reed Wiseman reporting four green crew members, meaning they're all in excellent shape.
Integrity Houston for SAR Beacon and Radio.
SAR Beacon is in 406, and we're powering the radio now. Go ahead.
We see the beacon on. However, the recovery team is not seeing the signal. Your SAR radio uses the same antenna, so you may run into trouble with the radio.
Okay, copy. We are also powering up the sat phone now.
So Integrity is in great shape, and as the crew continues its post-splashdown timelined activities on board, Reed Wiseman once again reporting that all four crew members are in excellent shape, and we have five inflated airbags to maintain an upright configuration so that the recovery team can now begin a slow approach to the vehicle. Meanwhile, here in the flight control room, Entry Flight Director Rick Hensling is polling his team of flight controllers for the start of powering down the vehicle after a thorough systems check. We have no toxic gases to be concerned about, so the recovery personnel can approach the vehicle, but not until we have powered down the spacecraft. That's expected to take a few more minutes.
Connected to CMN Network.
Welcome home, boys. WABD.
Integrity back on Earth following its historic flyby of the moon. It was, for all intents and purposes, a textbook mission.
Joy on 2828, but I will remain on this frequency.
We copy.
Reed Wiseman indicating some trouble with the SARSAT phone on board, but that's not an issue. What is more important is that the vehicle is solid, no issues, as we begin the power down of the vehicle to begin the recovery process. The propulsion officer here in Mission Control reports that we have safed the prop system on Integrity.
Can you say again? That was very weak and broken.
Integrity, Houston did not call.
Copy that, Houston. It might have been on the side radio. Stand by.
All of the milestones were executed in perfect fashion. Integrity entering the Earth's atmosphere right on time, reaching its peak speed shortly after a blackout period began. We emerged from the blackout period. The recovery imagery airborne assets were able to pick up Integrity's descent almost immediately through entry interface, tracking the vehicle all the way down. And finally, you saw the sequence of chute deployments. First, the forward bay cover being pulled off the top of the vehicle by a series of three parachutes. Then the drogue chutes were deployed, followed by the three main chutes that slowed the splashdown velocity of Integrity to just 19 miles an hour.
Integrity, Houston, with no joy on SAR and SAT phone, we'd like you to command an additional 15 minutes for a total of 30-minute power down delay.
All right, Jackie, we just selected T/D+30. No joy on SAR radio or SAT phone. And stand by, we have the master diver on SAR radio. Please hold comms.
Hey, Lily. Excuse me. Hey, Jackie, we just got the master diver on SAR.
Good view of one of the fast boats.
Integrity, Houston, if you are happy with your comm with master diver, you can go back to the 15-minute power down.
Okay, stand by. Yeah, we'll confirm here in a second.
Crew on board Integrity coordinating with the flight control team in Houston here in Mission Control on the timing of the power down of the vehicle, which will be the precursor to the recovery teams approaching the spacecraft. There are no issues with Integrity. We've had a bit of broken capability in establishing a SARSAT or satellite phone communications capability between the crew on board Integrity and the recovery team. That will get sorted out here shortly. There's plenty of cooling on board Integrity. So there's no rush to begin the power down.
I'm trying to call you on the sat phone, and I'm not getting an answer there either.
Concur. We haven't had anything come through.
And Houston, if you could relay to recovery that we hear them, but it does not appear as though they are hearing us.
Houston copies, and Reed, just to confirm, you are pushing the PTT on the radio.
So as we continue to sort out the communications between Integrity and the recovery teams, we are standing by for the initiation of the power down procedures. As you see, the recovery teams are moving towards the side of the capsule. The next major event will be the erection of that large inflatable raft called the front porch. That will be the protocol for the crew as they're being extracted one by one from the vehicle.
Houston, for sat phone, we are going to attempt to call you.
Good idea, standing by.
And Jackie, yes, we are pushing the push to talk, the two buttons on the left side of the radio below the up down arrows. We are utilizing them. I'm rebooting the radio to see if we get good comms.
Okay, we copy all, and just to confirm, you are seeing that you're touchdown plus 330 for power, correct?
That's the affirmative.
We are trying a backdoor approach to have Mission Control here call the crew on their satellite phone. It's all part of the coordination for the power down of the vehicle. That will initiate the actual recovery operation. The first boats with the Navy divers on board are standing by, waiting to close in on Integrity to begin the process of erecting the large inflatable raft. It's called the front porch. That will be where the astronauts are extracted from so that they can have a few minutes to get their land legs back before they're hoisted aboard the Navy helicopters for the flight back to the deck of the USS John P. Murtha.
Can I reply?
And Houston, please don't reply. NRD, very weak, but readable. Master Diver, we can hear, but they cannot hear us. And Houston, on OE-1, is there any chance to tie us into NRD?
Checking.
This is Mission Control, Houston. While we stand by for the establishment of communications between Integrity and the recovery team that is basically standing by very close to the spacecraft, we're going to go to the deck of the USS John P. Murtha, where Megan Cruz is standing by with Administrator Jared Isaacman.
Yeah, just such an honor to be able to be here on the ship, to be able to share and experience this moment with everyone together. And, of course, as you just said, yes, here with NASA Administrator Jared Isaacman. Administrator, how did you feel getting to witness this and seeing NASA at its best?
Oh, I mean, I'm honestly still at a loss for words. I mean, you know, like the childhood Jared right now can't believe what I just saw. I mean, almost been waiting my whole lifetime to see this, and then NASA Administrator, I just couldn't be more proud of the entire workforce, the years, the effort, the late nights, all the hard work from across the country that contributed to this incredible moment right now. And, yeah, incredibly grateful, too, for our teams here on the John P. Murtha right now.
Yeah, look at the behind us here.
We got everybody. Hey, what do you guys think? We just brought some astronauts back from the moon, huh? Unbelievable. Thank you. Yeah, so grateful to the Navy, the sailors, that are here, the NASA teams. I mean, this is a joint effort that's on their way right now. These recovery forces are getting out to our Orion spacecraft, to Integrity, get our astronauts back on the ship safely.
Yeah, and this is not just an accomplishment for NASA. This is an accomplishment for humanity. Again, a historic mission to the moon and back. How does this make you feel, and what do you hope people take away from this?
Well, I'll tell you, you know, I think about the crew members that we've all had an opportunity to observe over the last 10 days, right? I mean, they're absolutely professional astronauts. I mean, wonderful communicators, almost poets. But then I think these were the ambassadors from humanity to the stars that we've sent out there right now. And I can't imagine a better crew than the Artemis II crew that just completed a perfect mission right now. So, yes, it's a huge moment for everybody, right? I mean, we are back in the business of sending astronauts to the moon, bring them back safely, and to set up for a series more. I mean, this is not a once-in-a-lifetime, which you hear sometimes around here. It's like,
yeah,
this was a once-in-a-lifetime. No, it's not. This is just the beginning. We are going to get back into doing this with frequency, sending missions to the moon until we land on it in 2028 and start building our base.
Yeah, are we going to build on the momentum for Artemis 3? I mean, it's just around the corner.
Absolutely. So, I mean, that's, you know, part of me, too. I can't wait to get the crew off of Integrity right now, but also getting Integrity back on this ship so we can start taking a look at it, because all that data is so precious to us right now. I mean, we are going to definitely want to take a good look at the thermal protection system. We're going to want to download all the data they couldn't transmit back to us and use that to inform Artemis 3. But we're already making progress, right? You had SRB segments already showing up at KSC. Core stage for Artemis 3 is rolling out on April 20th. We're getting Mobile Launcher 1 back in vehicle assembly building. So, yes, there is a lot to celebrate right now on a mission well accomplished for Artemis 2. And at the same time, we got to start getting ready for 3.
Amazing. And last question, you know, for people who joined us for all 10 days to see what we can accomplish together with our international partners, what do you think about the fact that we're going to keep doing this more and more and more?
It's incredibly exciting. I mean, yes, it's the contributions, like the best and brightest across the NASA workforce from across the country, our industry partners, our international partners. We had a Canadian Space Agency astronaut on board in Jeremy. We had the European service module. And you think, in the days leading up to this launch, I mean, 48 hours prior to launching Artemis 2, I was meeting with the Italian Space Agency. We signed a memorandum of understanding build a habitation module on the moon. I mean, you have countries, all of our allies and partners coming together saying, we are committed to this effort. We are returning to the moon. We're doing it to stay. We are building that enduring presence. We are going to master the skills on the surface of the moon so someday we can undertake missions to Mars. It's just an incredibly exciting time, and we're not going at it alone. We're bringing everybody along with us.
Absolutely. Awesome. I love that. Okay. Well, thank you so much, Administrator. Appreciate you being here. We're, of course, going to stay on to watch the crew get extracted from Orion. So stay tuned, and we'll see you back here shortly.
Thank you, Megan, and thank you, Administrator Isaacman. We are in the process of working to establish that communications link and to establish the procedures that will lead to the power down of the spacecraft, which is gently bobbing in the Pacific following a bullseye touchdown that occurred at 7:07 p.m. Central Time, 5:07 p.m. Pacific Time, 2.5 hours before sunset in the Pacific southwest of San Diego. We have once again heard from the crew during that interview opportunity with the administrator, and we have four healthy crew members on board. We now have confirmation that the vehicle has been powered down as per the procedures. So we have vehicle powered down, and the flight control team here in Houston, Flight Director Rick Hentling, has handed over mission authority to the Exploration Ground Systems team out in the Pacific. Now, we will physically not get off console with this team until the crew has been extracted into the front porch, that inflatable raft that will be erected along the side hatch of Integrity. So we're standing by for that in the next step in the recovery procedures. But everything is in great shape, and we have four healthy crew members on board the vehicle. All of the entry events went by the book, no issues, perfect trajectory for Integrity. that was culminated with one final raise burn to improve the angle of attack for the vehicle as it entered the Earth's atmosphere. All of that flight dynamics computation worked like a charm. So we are standing by for the recovery team to approach Integrity and begin the process of erecting that inflatable raft called the front porch, which we'll see the crew members be extracted from the hatch of Orion into that inflatable raft before they're hoisted aboard two Navy helicopters in a variety of different configurations. Each crew member will be hoisted in sequential fashion, in alternating fashion, two crew members for each helicopter before they turn around to head back to the John P. Murtha. Once on the deck of the ship, they'll be brought into medical bay for comprehensive medical exams. Reed Wiseman has reported several times that the crew is in excellent shape. So just to recap, it has been some 26 and a half minutes since the splashdown of Integrity in the Pacific. The vehicle is in excellent shape. It performed like a champ all the way down through the Earth's atmosphere. All of the vehicle functions were checked off in excellent trip hammer fashion. The parachutes all deployed as planned. Splashdown occurring at 7:07 p.m. Central Time, 5:07 p.m. Pacific Time. And after a bit of a tussle to try to establish a communications link with the recovery team, we were finally able to run through the procedures for the powering down of the vehicle. We've handed over mission authority to the Exploration Ground Systems folks out in the Pacific, and the recovery team will be approaching the vehicle shortly to erect the inflatable raft called the front porch before opening the hatch to Integrity to bring the crew members onto that raft before they're hoisted onto two Navy helicopters, two crew members for each helicopter, before they're flown back to the deck of the USS John P. Murtha. This is Mission Control, Houston. After talking to the flight dynamics folks, we have a bit of a refinement on the splashdown time for you. Their computation shows a splashdown time of 7:07 and 27 seconds p.m. Central Time, 7:07 and 27 seconds p.m. Central Time. That would equate to a mission elapsed time of 9 days, 1 hour, 32 minutes, and 15 seconds.
You're connected to CMN Network.
Once again, from Flight Dynamics, a splashdown time of 7:07 and 27 seconds p.m. Central Time. That would equate to a mission elapsed time of 9 days, 1 hour, 32 minutes, and 15 seconds. Reports from the Pacific indicate that the recovery team, in communications with the crew aboard Integrity, that the crew remains in excellent shape as they await the approach of the team for a final hazard gas evaluation before they move to the side of the vehicle to erect the inflatable life raft called the front porch. Again, no issues with Integrity. The vehicle is powered down. All of its systems are now safed. We have handed over mission authority to the Exploration Ground Systems folks in the Pacific, but we will not stand down and have the entry flight control team depart its positions until that inflatable raft, the front porch, is erected, the hatch open, and the crew having exited the vehicle. So that's the next step in the recovery process that will lead to the hoisting of the crew members for two crew members for each helicopter. They'll be hoisted to a pair of Navy helicopters that will then fly a short distance back to the USS John P. Murtha. What you're looking at is one of the fast boats circling the vehicle to make a hazard assessment. This is Mission Control Houston. Once again, you're watching the initiation of the recovery of the Artemis crew, board integrity. All of the Navy divers and the fast boats are now approaching spacecraft after conducting a hazard assessment. The vehicle has been powered down. Entry Flight Director Rick Hentling now waiting for the life raft, the front porch, to be erected along the side of the vehicle so that the hatch can be opened and the crew members extracted from integrity, soon to be hoisted one by one into a pair of Navy helicopters for a short flight back to the deck of the USS John P. Murtha. If you missed it earlier, we talked to Flight Dynamics and received a more official touchdown time, or splashdown time as it were, of 7.07 and 27 seconds p.m. Central Time, 5.07 and 27 seconds p.m. Pacific Time. That would equate to a mission elapsed time of 9 days, 1 hour, 32 minutes, and 15 seconds. Continuing to get excellent views from the imagery assets out at sea in the Pacific of Integrity, we continue to get good reports from the landing and support officer. Is in contact with the recovery team that the crew is in excellent shape, no issues. They're just currently biding their time, waiting for the front porch to be erected. We have no hazardous gases and no hazardous situation with the vehicle. It performed perfectly all the way down from entry interface to its splashdown in the Pacific at 7.07 and 27 seconds p.m. Central Time. And as you can see, the first phalanx of recovery personnel now pulling up alongside of Integrity. This includes Navy divers, a Navy flight surgeon, and other recovery personnel who have trained for several years for this recovery process. At this hour, some 41 minutes following splashdown, the vehicle has been powered down. There's no hazardous gas emanating from the vehicle. That's why the first team of recovery personnel has been able to pull alongside Integrity. And the reports continue to come in that the four astronauts are in excellent shape. Yes. This is Mission Control Houston continuing to watch the initiation of the recovery of Integrity's astronauts. One by one, they'll be brought out of the spacecraft onto a large inflatable raft just a short time from now. In the meantime, we can go back to the USS John P. Murtha, where my colleague Megan Cruz is standing by to provide her situation report. Megan, can you hear us?
Hey, Bob, yes, I can hear you. Thank you. Yeah, we're back here on the bow of the recovery ship where there are still plenty of people peering out into the water. We are not very far from the action everyone is seeing on their screen now. The Orion spacecraft, Integrity, in the ocean, surrounded by a number of recovery boats. As Rob has been saying, in those recovery boats, NASA and Navy personnel specifically trained to get the astronauts out of Orion. In some of our wide shots, you can probably see that there are six boats out in the water. More than 40 people out in the water right now on those boats. Is to set up the front porch and the stabilization collar. You might also hear it referred to as a stab collar. Basically just to make sure that Orion stays upright, doesn't sway in the water too much, again, to make it easier for recovery forces to get the astronauts out. Again, we splashed down to the Pacific Ocean just after 5 p.m. Pacific time here. It's a requirement by NASA to be able to get the crew out of Orion within 2 hours of splashdown. So doing great on time so far. Plenty of time. No rush either. I was speaking to NASA flight surgeon Rick Schuring earlier in this broadcast, and he said to me, no rush to get the crew out. Just want to make sure that they're feeling good. And whenever they're ready to take their step out of Orion and onto that large raft, the front porch, folks will be ready. As there are mission audio loops in Mission Control in Houston, there is a mission audio loop here on the ship, and it was just reported out that the side hatch is open. Side hatch of Integrity is open. We're getting these beautiful shots from our aerial assets. Yards away. Again, plenty of people on the boat here, glued to the side closest to where they can see all this action. And again, with just 3,000 yards separating us, great views from the bow here. You can see now that side hatch is open. One of the Navy personnel is about to get inside there. In they go. In total, 4 will go into Orion. So it'll be a little bit of a tight squeeze, but the goal is to have a recovery personnel with each astronaut assessing them. Boat's getting closer now. Again, that one that's right up against Orion, those are the divers that will go in to the spacecraft to check on each of the astronauts. These other boats will begin doing a number of things, putting on that stabilization collar onto Orion, building that front porch. Eventually, they will retrieve the parachutes, as well as tow Orion back to the well deck of the recovery ship here. So as we wait for the Navy and NASA personnel to get their assessments of the crew inside of Orion, why don't we toss it back to Rob for an update.
Yeah, thank you, Megan. Here in Mission Control, Flight Director Rick Hensling and the entry team of flight controllers still on duty. The vehicle has been powered down for some time now. There are no hazardous gases emanating from Integrity. That, of course, allowed the recovery personnel to approach the vehicle and then open the hatch to begin the initial medical assessment of the crew, as you just indicated. Now we're standing by for the erection of that inflatable raft, the front porch, alongside of the vehicle that will enable the crew to be extracted one by one onto the raft. Into two hovering Navy helicopters, two crew members for each helicopter for a short flight back to the deck of the USS John P. Murtha. All of Integrity's systems operated flawlessly throughout the course of the approach to the Earth, the entry into the Earth's atmosphere, and all of the key milestones that followed in this high-speed return to Earth for Integrity, a mission that spanned more than 694,000 miles from the vehicle's launch from the Kennedy Space Center atop the Space Launch System on April 1st. As we mentioned at the top of the broadcast, the last time that the Apollo program saw a splashdown in the Pacific was Apollo 17 back on December 19, 1972. So for the first time in some 53 and a half years, we have reenacted that with the arrival of Integrity's astronauts as they flew around the moon in that historic lunar flyby that began with a translunar injection burn that took them out of Earth orbit following 24 hours of a high Earth orbit trajectory. The high Earth orbit trajectory enabled flight controllers here to have a full 24 hours to evaluate the systems on Integrity and the condition of the crew before they would commit to flying to the moon. With the side hatch of Orion having been opened, to set the stage for the erection of the inflatable life raft, known as the front porch, to be erected alongside the spacecraft for the extraction of the crew. Let's play for you an interview that my colleague Megan Cruz conducted on the USS John P. Murtha with Navy diver First Class David McMahon that explains how this process is unfolding.
Hey, baby.
Currently connected to CMN Network.
Once again, the recovery operations are continuing out in the Pacific. We shortly should see that life raft, the front porch, erected alongside the side hatch of the vehicle. A number of flight controllers have come into the flight control room to receive congratulations from Entry Flight Director Rick Hensling, but we're going to stick with our operations out of the Pacific as we await the extraction of the four crew members who are reported to be in excellent condition. Again, while we stand by for that front porch to be erected alongside of the side hatch of the vehicle, let's go back to the USS John P. Murtha and Megan Cruz. Megan?
Pausing now to listen to some internal audio loops. Again, the operations team here on the ship communicating with everyone out on the water. It seems like currents are hindering them a little bit from unfurling and inflating the stabilization collar as well as the front porch. But again, the requirement to get the crew out within 2 hours of splashdown, plenty of time. So no concerns just yet. but as calm as the water looks, yeah, it looks like it's hindering the teams just a tad. You can see in some of our shots that side hatch still open. Again, inside, there are now 8 people inside. 4 divers, Navy divers, all with medical training, each assigned to an astronaut each. Making sure that they're comfortable, feeling good. As you've heard us say in the broadcast, you know, they expect a little bit of discomfort. Again, these astronauts just traveled back to Earth at 25,000 miles an hour, a nearly 695,000-mile journey around the moon. If you think you get carsick. Boats out there, lots of gear with them, just in case, right? As we said, the crew reported feeling great. But again, all those folks out there, in case they weren't, right? NASA is all about making sure we think about every situation that can happen. And so, of course, wanted to be ready in case any of our astronauts needed more medical attention while out there in the water. You see now teams again trying to set up the stabilization collar and front porch for the crew to get out of Orion. They need both, right? The stabilization collar will keep Orion from swaying as you see it is doing now. And then they will connect the front porch to the stabilization collar so that the crew can take 2 steps and they will be in the front porch. Chatter on the mission audio loop, that's a good thing. Again, things fighting some currents out there on the Pacific Ocean. Again, the goal, setting up the stabilization collar and the front porch so that the crew can rest comfortably in the front porch, get placed into harnesses so that 2 helicopters can lift them off the front porch and onto the USS John Murtha here. The helicopters are going to take turns picking up an astronaut. So again, Helo 1 and Helo 2. Okay, and the recovery team here on the ship just got a report from the undersea medical officer who is inside the capsule with the crew. He is reporting all 4 members are green. All of our 4 astronauts, Reed, Victor, Christina, Jeremy, green, meaning they are feeling great, not the complexion of their skin. They are feeling great, happy to be home, and ready to be extracted as soon as possible. Helicopters circling the activity you're seeing on the water right now. Each will take turns picking up an astronaut. So Helo 1 will come on in, hover above the front porch, about 40 feet above the front porch. A Navy recovery specialist will be hoisted down
into the front porch. We'll connect to the first astronaut, which we're expecting to be Christina. And then Hilo 2 comes around, picks up Jeremy, while Hilo 1 stays above head. And then Hilo 1 will come back in for another astronaut, and then Hilo 2 for the last astronaut, and then back to the flight deck here on the recovery ship. I was talking to Assistant Artemis Recovery Director Paul Sierpinski. He said helos are a much quicker, safer way to get on board. They did actually consider boats, but then if you think about it, longer time, the crew would have to move through more of the ship. This way the helos will give a more direct, quicker route to the medical bay for our four astronauts. Beautiful shots from our aerial and imagery teams. Clouds have dissipated for a clear view from the bow of the recovery ship here. Still see divers in the water there. Encircling Orion, that is that stabilization collar we've been telling you about. And that interview just a few minutes ago, they have to first connect it to Orion, and then once it's secured onto Orion, they can inflate it, and then they'll further secure it with other harnesses and lines. About an hour and 10 minutes since splashdown in the Pacific Ocean here. Reed, Victor, Christina, and Jeremy back home after a history-making mission to the moon and back. Missed what we said just a couple of minutes ago. The undersea medical officer inside with the crew in Orion reporting all four crew members feeling great. Progress being made there on the stabilization collar. It looks like they are beginning to inflate it. And it looks like they're starting to unfold the front porch in order to get that into the water here shortly and inflate that as well.
W8CMN, repeater in Guilford.
The reason why they had to get out so early is just to stage everything. And actually here on the ship,
when there are flight operations happening, you can't have anything else, right? Just because the flight deck can be a dangerous place, so they just want to focus on planes coming and going from the ship, so that's why they wanted to get the boats in the water to make sure that they have all the time they needed for the flight ops. And then the same crew here out in the water, they will stay out in the water for a number of hours after we recover the crew and get them back on the ship, because then they have to recover Orion. All right, that stabilization collar looking good around Orion. We're now seeing some recovery personnel getting on to that collar. Again, they need to further attach it to Orion to make sure that it can really prop up the spacecraft. It's basically lifting it up off of the water just a tad. Again, so it's not so it doesn't sway so much in the water there. And now that front porch looks like it's nearly fully inflated as well. You can see a much larger surface area. So once the crew get out of Orion, they can stretch their legs a little bit on this front porch, get some fresh air. And enjoy this beautiful day here on their home planet. It appears teams now are about to connect the front porch to the stabilization collar. And at that point, when both are secure, we should soon see astronauts come out of Orion. These views you see also being fed to the Landing Force Operations Center here on the ship. Of course, it is very important for our recovery teams leading the mission to have all the views that you're seeing as well. Again, listening to their communication loop here on the ship. Very quiet, which is a good thing. It means things are going pretty nominally, meaning as expected. All this activity happening just 3,000 yards away from the ship. So that means this will be a very quick flight back on the helicopters for the crew. 2-3 minutes, and then we'll be back here on the ship. Okay, so a thumbs up from one of the personnel on the front porch. deploy what they call the Air Rescue Vest, ARV. And so this is the harness that each crew member will get into in order to be hoisted into the helicopters. Again, those helicopters hovering just about 40 feet above the front porch when they're ready to pick up each crew member.
This is Mission Control Houston. Behind me, a fairly raucous scene as hundreds of flight controllers have poured into the flight control room here. This is reminiscent of the scene after the final shuttle mission of STS-135, although that was the end of a program. This is only the beginning of a program with the textbook splashdown of Integrity and its four astronauts. We're standing by for the crew to be extracted from the spacecraft. Entry Flight Director Rick Hensling invited all of these flight controllers who have contributed to this mission to enter the flight control room to have an opportunity to receive well wishes and to share the mutual glow that exists in the wake of a textbook mission for Integrity on the front screen here in Mission Control, a sign that says, "Welcome home, Integrity. Taking humanity back to the moon, going further, and returning safely to Earth." So all of that jubilation, part of the post-splashdown activities, even as we await the crew being extracted from the vehicle to be hoisted onto Navy helicopters for the trip back to the USS John P. Murtha. Once again here in Mission Control, this view of the Artemis Flight Control Room, known as the White Flight Control Room. This is the old shuttle flight control room, and now is the home of Artemis missions to the moon and beyond. Once again, quite a few flight controllers were invited in by Entry Flight Director Rick Hensling to share in the jubilation following the successful splashdown of Integrity. That splashdown occurring an hour and 22 minutes ago, as we stand by for the completion of the extraction of the crew, and ultimately they're hoisting onto Navy helicopters for a short flight back to the USS John P. Murtha. Splashdown occurred at 7:07 and 20 ago. He said the trajectory of Integrity coming through the Earth's atmosphere was so precise, they've never seen anything line up on a ground track like today's entry by Integrity for its splashdown southwest of San Diego. And the initial, you can hear it. Jubilation here in the flight control room. The first crew member is out of Integrity.
connected to CMN Network.
We are expecting the other crew members momentarily to be extracted. We now have two crew members out. Two crew members out, two to go. We're about 1 hour from sunset out in the Pacific. Everything continues to go well. Integrity's systems function perfectly during its entry back to Earth. And Reed Wiseman, the commander who will be last out of the vehicle, reported that all the crew members were feeling very well. Crew member number three now out. And now standing by for the commander, Reed Wiseman, who will be last out of his ship. Bobbing in the Pacific under almost ideal conditions, Integrity spanned 694,000 miles during its journey from launch to splashdown. And we now have Reed Wiseman out of the vehicle, all four crew members now out of Integrity. Once again, all four crew members now on the front porch, and the procedure to begin hoisting them up to these two Navy helicopters hovering overhead will begin shortly.
All right, they're out of the hole. It's going to discontinue the Artemis stuff. W8CMN, returning the network to normal amateur abuse.
You're connected to CMN Network.